From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead of 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
But there's 100 yards left. And Gunrunner with Gusto in the Stephen Foster Wins for Fun.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Kasakwi strikes to lead at the eighth pole. It's Kasakwi in front and opening up now. Chocolate Ride battles on Bondurant and Conquest Panthera down to the wire from off the pace. It's Kasakwi.
Here on the far outside is Good Samaritan in his dirt debut, and he's charging in the center of the track. He's gone by them all. Good Samaritan has taken the lead, and he's pulling away. Good Samaritan has won the Jim Dandy.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna, in our perch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, Section 2B. So if you're out here this morning, come on by and say hello to me. The other one here on the stage with me is my producer, Michelle Penna. She's the nicer one. She has some swag for you, maybe an HRRN pen, maybe a trip to Barbados. So come on over and say hello. Michelle's on site with me, producer Lee Delapina, back in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. A brilliant Saturday morning here at the old spa. Temperatures right around 70 degrees already. Supposed to be in the 80s today. A wonderful day of racing on tap. A couple of graded stakes. Grade 1 Alabama, Grade 2 Lake Placid, both for the three-year-old fillies, the Alabama on dirt, Lake Placid on turf. That's here on the East Coast, out on the left coast, if you will, as my East Coast bias kicks in. Jeff Bloom and Jude Feld will have coverage of the Pacific Classic and a trio of graded races, Grade 1 Pacific Classic, Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks, as well as the Grade 2 Del Mar Handicap. A big Saturday here on the network as well. Live from Saratoga as part of our Saturdays at Saratoga, presented by VisitBarbados.org series. I will be here with Mike Beer of the Daily Racing Forum to take you through the Lake Placid and the Alabama. That's from 5 to 6. From 6 to 7, an encore performance of Trainer Talk, featuring my main man, the Colonel, Kieran McLaughlin. It aired originally Wednesday night. Back tonight, 6 to 7, and then 7 to 9, our exclusive coverage of that Grade 1 Pacific Classic out of Del Mar. Again, Mike Beer and I here at Saratoga, Jeff Bloom and Jude Feld out where the turf meets the surf. You can hear all of that coverage beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern on Sirius XM 93, and of course, it always streams live right here at your home for all of racing's biggest days, horseracingradio.net. We have an action-packed show for you this morning. Hall of Famer Bill Mott will send out a couple in the Alabama. Lockdown, who won the listed Busanda over the winter, most recently third in the Kentucky Oaks and second in the Mother Goose. Bill Mott stopped by Express Bet Radio yesterday. You'll hear that interview in its entirety. Jimmy Jerkin stopped by as well. He has the Queen's Plate winner, Holy Helena. That's what we're going with anyway. Larry Comas is going with Helena. We're going with Helena. So, Holy Helena, going to look for her first graded stakes victory as those two restricted races to Ontario Breds up in Canada at Woodbine did not have a grade. So, though she won one of Canada's most historic races, the Queen's Plate, she's looking for her first graded win and goes back to the dirt after a couple of wins on the Tepeda surface. We talked to Jimmy about those races, as well as his storied history here at the old spa. Of course, longtime assistant to his father, the late great, the chief, the giant killer, Alan Jerkins. That guy had more nicknames than Apollo Creed. But we talked to Jimmy about Alan and having the King's Bishop renamed for him. You'll hear that in just a little while. Craig Dato, the CMO out at Del Mar, stop by for his weekly visit as we are more than halfway through. It's amazing. We are more than halfway through Saratoga and Del Mar for the summer. Craig will stop by. Mike Jude actually had Craig Dado. Jude also had Doug O'Neill, who is going to run a couple against the one and only Arrogate in that Grade 1 Pacific Classic. I can't believe it took me 5 minutes into the show to say the name Arrogate, but it did. Carlin Road and Donworth, the two that Doug O'Neill will saddle later on today slash tonight out at Del Mar. Worked for Jude. One of the first jobs he had on the racetrack was with Jude Feld, and they'll reminisce about that and talk about his two charges in that Pacific Classic later on today. And the New York Racing Association's featured analyst, Andy Serling, my buddy, my talking horses partner, he's going to join us right around the 9 o'clock hour, and we'll talk to him about everything and anything. Saratoga Springs still comes up. His mom's up here. His mom lives up here. Andy lived up here for most of his life, and he's a Saratoga boy at heart, and we'll talk to him about some of his good beats, some of his good wins, some of his bad beats, the spa in general, and of course, that Grade 1 Travers that comes your way next week. You'll hear it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Sunrise Stallions. That coverage as part of our Saturdays at Saratoga series, a loaded up Travers. If all pointing get here next Saturday, we are going to have the definitive race of the summer for three-year-olds, and in a division that is wide, wide open, perhaps the Travers winner can grab that bull by the horns and be your three-year-old leader going into the final turn, September, October, and of course in November, the Breeders' Cup World Championships. If everybody does their job today, Arrogate will be an imposing figure waiting for some of these three-year-olds that decide to try that Breeders' Cup Classic on November 4th out at Del Mar for the first time this year. Speaking of Arrogate, of course, it is famous, infamous, whatever word you'd like to use, but that performance last time in the San Diego still has most people scratching their heads. I don't think I'll ever, I said it to Mike on the right or wrong segment we do here on the Equine Forum. I have never been more surprised by the result of a horse race in my life when Arrogate got beat in that performance. And we'll put that question out to you this morning, HRR and Nation. Arrogate's back for the Pacific Classic today. The question is, how will he perform later on at Del Mar? Will he dominate like we've seen him do in the Pegasus World Cup, the Travers, and of course in that remarkable last-to-first run over in Dubai at Maidan in the Dubai World Cup? Will it be a workmanlike win? He's had one or two of those. He's had a workmanlike win or two in his career. He just got California Chrome in the Breeders' Cup Classic in the Wayback Machine, and that's just about a year ago. Won a couple of allowance races in less than sparkling fashion. Maybe it'll be a workmanlike win. Will he just get beat? Maybe he is not as good as I or millions of others thought he was. Or will he perform the same way he did in the San Diego? So those are your four options. There's really not another. Those are the only four things that can happen out at Del Mar today. So your four options. Head on over to at HRRN on Twitter and vote in this morning's Equine Forum poll question of the day, and we will read some of your responses. In fact, I'll probably read all of your responses this morning on the program. Yeah, Michelle, I am generous. That's right. I am very generous with HRR Nation. I love HRR Nation like they are my own. Busy morning here on the Equine Forum. Horses are out training right before the renovation break here at the spa. Could not be nicer. Still plenty of time to come on out to the races today. If you're coming out to Saratoga, stop on by. Section 2B is where we are perched for the afternoon, and come join the couple of dozen that we have right in front of us already on the apron watching these morning workouts as part of breakfast at Saratoga. All right, break time. When we come back, Jimmy Jerkins, the trainer of Holy Helena, stop by Stretch Bet Radio yesterday. We're going to replay that interview for you in its entirety. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5444.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind, absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Into Mischief is North America's emerging top sire, the world's leading two-year-old sire in 2016, and America's leading three-year-old sire in 2017, with his biggest and best crop still to come.
Golden Sun just keeps on going! Golden Sun will go again to the dirt mile!
Practical jumps under the way of the champagne!
Vickers in trouble!
By Jack in the ascendancy light!
Into Mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they come for the home stretch in the Queen's Plate, Mega Gray's got the lead. Mega Gray, State of Honor, tackled by Holy Helena and Channel Maker. And the fillies hit the front. Holy Helena running away. Mega Gray in second. Channel Maker the outside. And deeper on the track is Tis a Slam. But it is Holy Helena, three in front. Tis a Slam runs to second. But she is poetry in motion, Holy Helena. And she's won it by three lengths. Tis a Slam, second. Third is on the inside in flexibility. Then Channel Maker, Spirit of Caledonia, Mega Gray, 2287.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A in for the Baron on an amazing Saturday morning here. Live from Saratoga Racecourse. If you're playing the races today or coming out to the races, please note that races 1 and 2 are off the turf. We got a ton of rain here yesterday morning and some more in the afternoon. Protecting that turf course, of course, for the Lake Placid and the rest of the meet. With Travers Week coming upon us very, very shortly. So races 1 and 2 off the turf. The remainder of the turf races will be on schedule on both the inner and the Mellon courses. Yesterday afternoon on Express Bet Radio, where you can catch me and my new co-host, Felix Biscuits. Call it grown man Biscuits. Felix Biscuit Biscuits Mendez, 3 to 6 Eastern. Right here, Sirius 219, XM 206, Horse Racing Radio, and then from Wednesday to Friday. We had a couple of big-name guests stop by. One of them, Jimmy Jerkins, who I know Jimmy for quite a long time, having grown up around the chief, the late, great Alan Jerkins. They'll run the H. Alan Jerkins Memorial, the old King's Bishop, on that Travers undercard. And the Alabama race. Jimmy's going to try to win for the first time. He was an assistant to his dad when November Snow and Sky Beauty won back-to-back runnings of the race in 92 and 93. He had flew the nest by the time Society Selection gave Alan Jerkins his third Alabama win. But Jimmy was there for the first two, but he wasn't here trackside. In fact, we'll let Jimmy tell you where he was when Sky Beauty and November Snow won the Alabama, which he'll try to do today with Holy Helena.
No, I was just in the trenches at the barn in those days. Well, they were my father was here. You know, he still saddled his horses in those days and gave the jock all the instructions and, if need be, bawled them out afterwards. But of course those instances, it wasn't necessary.
Now, two spectacular fillies, especially Sky Beauty. You know, Anthony and I were talking about this earlier. I feel like she gets a little lost in the shuffle when people talk about the no all-time question. Great fillies in this game. Talk Absolutely. A little bit about your time around her.
Well, I spent a lot of time with her. You know, we had a scare with her when she was a two-year-old. It looked like she had a very suspicious-looking tendon, and we were really nervous about it. You know, it was still back in the days where you didn't do all those like they do now. They didn't scan them and for what the damage might be and any of that kind of stuff like they do now. But we just, I remember we used to do the old remedies straight down with the iodine paint and a lot of ice and good support through the training and all that. And it was amazing how it still had always had that funny look to it, but it never got thick and it never got sore. And she went her whole career with it. And but you know, we always had it in the back of our mind, and we always did everything we could to protect her. You know, never worked her on bad tracks and stuff like that. And it was amazing that thing held all her career. It really was.
Well, the chief knew how to train a racehorse. That was the understatement. Yeah. Ever of life, and obviously you did a great job as an assistant, have done phenomenally on your own. One more thing about the chief, you got to be real happy with them renaming the King's Bishop in his honor, the H. Allen Jerkins Memorial, the old King's Bishop on the Travers undercar week here at Saratoga.
Yeah, and I thought it was appropriate. You know, from I hear through the grapevine there were some naysayers about it, but
yeah, there were.
To me, it made perfect sense because, I mean, who had a tie to the King's Bishop? But other than, I mean, no one remembers him except probably my father who trained him and Tommy Kelly who trained him and the two people that owned him. I mean, it's one of those races that evolved into a Grade One because it just when it was first came around, it was happened to be on Travers Day, so it just, and then as time went by, some really good horses won it, and it just got bigger and bigger in prestige, and it got a Grade One status because of that. But I thought if they couldn't make a new race, it made perfect sense to me to honor him to rename it after a horse he trained. So I think it made perfect sense, and it's a great reverence to him. And yeah, he'd probably be embarrassed by it, but you know, he certainly deserves it, no question.
It's amazing how this game's changed. I mean, you've been around your entire life. How, you know, a race like the King's Bishop, which was once considered like a consolation prize almost for the horses that couldn't go the mile and a quarter, like you said, has evolved into a pinpoint race on the calendar.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You know, it is. It's always been a great race. They run very fast. I mean, they run flat out from start to finish, and you know, if it's a super speed day, the speed will hold on. If not, someone will come flying down the crown of the track and nail them. But it's always an exciting race, and you know, you get a lot of quality horses. When you get a lot of quality horses, like you say, with good speed, but just couldn't quite get the classic distances, and then they get freshened up and get cut back to 7 furlongs. I mean, they can forget it. They're well-seasoned three-year-olds by that time, and they're able to run flat out for 7 furlongs. And that's why it's always great to just some of the past King's Bishops have just been like tail of the cat. And I think the horse of what's his name, he ended up being a good stallion, the horse of Baffert's. He
first defense.
Ran, what, I'm sorry, what was his name?
Was the first defense?
No, that was Frankel's horse. I think Baffert, I thought Baffert had a horse for Aaron Jones.
You're right.
I don't know. I thought he ran very, very fast one year. And then, but I mean, that it's almost every year. It's just an incredible race. And it's, you know, it's very, very exciting to see that, that big speed. And then the closers come at him. It's charging down the lane. It's a great race, no question.
And a race that will carry the name, the H. Allen Jerkins Memorial, for the first time this year. We're just about a week away from Travers Day next week. I, for one, will have a tear in my eye when they run the H. Allen Jerkins. Of course, Allen, like a grandfather to me. And just great to see. Great to see you doing so well. Holy Helena, we're talking about a lot of talent, wide open race. Boy, you picked a heck of a year to have a top three-year-old filly to run in the Grade 1 Alabama, I got to tell you.
I know. It's usually one standout, and the rest of them are straggling behind them. But it's an incredible race this year, no question. But, you know, what are you going to do? We got to give it a go. She deserves the chance. You know, she's done a lot in a short time, and you know, she, even though she should only be her fifth start, she acts like a well-seasoned filly. So, you know, remains to be seen about being able to handle top quality fillies on a natural surface now, but like I said, she's been a distance that has to count for something, and you know, she's a ghost zapper. They usually do get gradually better in time, and everything about her has been classy so far. She hasn't lost her composure. You know, trains good and eats good, and you know, I think, you know, we'll just got to go in there and take a shot.
Jimmy, you mentioned how she's accomplished so much in a short time. On tax day, she was running for the first time, April 15th. By July 2nd, she was a winner of a race that's essentially the Kentucky Derby of Canada, beat the boys that day. You normally practice patience, conservative with your horses. That's why you get the most out of them. You ran this filly a mile and a quarter against a boy. She had to tip you off early on that she was some kind of runner.
Well, yeah, but the fact that she was, you know, the fact that it was restricted to, you know, Ontario breds is, you know, it's almost like the position people are in with New York bred 2 year olds. They'd be stretching them out to a mile when they wouldn't otherwise, just because of the competition you're running against. You know, you hate to throw them to the wolves and do that stuff. But if you think in the back of your mind, you got a horse that, you know, sometimes the class factor will overcome that stuff, and you just got to be able to judge what situations that'll, you know, that where you can do it, and at least try it, and you won't hurt the horse, you know. And we weren't going to attempt any of that in Canada if we didn't get that you know, that mile maiden race under a belt. We wouldn't have done it, but the fact that we were able to slip that in, and you know, it wasn't it that race. I don't believe it came up to be a fast race on the numbers, but everybody's telling me. But it didn't make any sense to me. But you know, they know a lot more about that stuff than I do, and I took it as meaning it was a better race than it looked. So, and she came out of it good. So we shipped her up to Canada and took a shot.
Yeah, took a shot in the Woodbine Oaks, got the money, came right back against the boys in that Queen's Plate, got the money that day. After the Queen's Plate, were you automatically thinking Alabama? I know they run the Prince of Wales, and the Breeders, yeah, is on the turf this Sunday up at Woodbine. But was the Alabama, yeah, race you had on the calendar from her for a while?
Well, I did it myself after the Queen's Plate, but. You know, Mr. Stronach and company, all, of course, you know, they were thinking of the Triple Crown up there. But it looked like, I mean, she was already running close together in those two races. Then she would have had to run very close again. And it looked like a potential for disappointment, you know. And the fact that, you know, as if she had a little, tiny little bit of a break, got a chance to catch her breath and build up to the Alabama, she'd have a good shot at it. We didn't count on it being this tough a rendition, of course. If we knew back then, you know, when she won the Queen's Plate, who knows, if we knew exactly who was going to go in there, we probably would have rethought it. But I still think it's better for her in the long run. Get back here and see what she could do. See what she can do against the better quality of horses. So here we are.
Talking with trainer Jimmy Jerkins, he has Holy Helena in the Grade 1 Alabama. I noticed, Jimmy, three of her workouts came on the Oklahoma. You brought her over to the main track on August 6th, breezed her three quarters in 115. Did you like the way she handled the track, the main track here?
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, like I said, I sent her with company just to be. She's a little on the lazy. She knows the difference between the real thing and practice, like a lot of them do. And she, you know, you're not going to get a whole lot out of her in the mornings unless you have a workmate with her. And she did good. She went three quarters and 15, but she galloped out real good, strong around the turn and about 28 and change. That's what I was looking for. And then I wanted to work her back on the main track, but it was bad weather that day. And so we ended up on Sunday. So we ended up, you know, the track over the main track gets muddier much sooner than the Oklahoma track does. So whereas that had water sitting on it, the track here was in good shape. So we opted to work her over here. I didn't want to wait another day because I thought maybe even though it had another day to dry out over there, I thought it would have been the other extreme. The track might have been too hard over there the next day. So we ended up and worked her over here. But we galloped her over there a bunch of times, and she did have that one good work over there. So I'm satisfied that she's had enough practice over the main track.
All right, Jimmy, thanks for some time today. He has Holy Helena in the Grade 1 Alabama tomorrow. Shaman Ghost will be back later on this year. Thanks for some time on Express Bet Radio today, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
Okay, Anthony.
Jimmy Jerkins got Holy Helena in that Grade 1 Alabama later on today. And, boy, just sitting down with Jimmy and having spent so much time with him when I was younger and around the chief, everything very methodical and thought out, just realizing that the main track here muddies up quicker than the Oklahoma, and bringing her here to get to work over the course. Holy Helena, she has that win at a mile and a quarter. The only other one in the race that has that is New Money Honey. She did it on the turf, so a turf mile and a quarter win for New Money Honey, a Tepeda all-weather surface up at Woodbine, mile and a quarter win for Holy Helena. They'll duke it out later on today here in the Grade 1 Alabama. You'll hear it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network as part of our Saturdays at Saratoga coverage that, of course, is presented by visitbarbados.org. Plenty of legends have been solidified in that Grade 1 Alabama. We'll hear from Bill Mott in a little bit. He'll talk about one of the best fillies and mares we've seen the last dozen years or so, Royal Delta, who started her legacy here in the Alabama. Speaking of legends, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
In late July of 1964, a well-matched field answered the call to post for the running of the Brooklyn Handicap over 10 furlongs. In that stellar field were Kelso with Milo Valenzuela in the saddle, Gunbo with Walter Blum at the controls, and Iron Peg with the shoe Willie Shoemaker up. There were 8 total starters, but the consensus was that the race would be decided amongst these 3, and consensus prevailed in what turned out to be a memorable performance by the eventual winner. A lot happened during the race, and a lot happened before. As the 8-horse field was loaded into the gate, Kelso knelt down in his stall as though preparing to pray. Rather than getting up on his feet, he reared back and sat on his haunches. It seemed totally out of context for the grand old champion, who had been calm in both the paddock and during the parade to post, but for whatever reason, he was rank indeed at the gate. In fact, the starting gate went slightly askew as he went to his knees. Kelso had injured himself in the very same way while in training in California once before, and that had cost him the winter of racing. When Valenzuela and an assistant starter finally got Kelso righted, starter George Cassidy got the field away immediately and in good order. Kelso broke alertly enough, but by the time the field had gone barely an eighth of a mile, he had dropped well back into seventh place. By the stands they went and on into the clubhouse turn, with Gunbo under Walter Blum setting the pace and breezing along uncontested while increasing his lead. Around the turn and on into the backside, Gunbo opened up a margin so commanding it looked like a one-horse race with the rest of the field far in arrears. Iron Peg, the Suburban winner under Shoemaker, had been the one that figured to prompt the pace, but he had all he could do to just keep close enough to have Gunbo in sight. You couldn't find the rest of the field with a sheriff's warrant. By the time they had gone five furlongs, Kelso was so far back that Valenzuela began whipping him to try to close some part of what was a monumental gap to Gunbo, and there was half the race yet to be run. Gunbo reeled off sensational fractions on the front end, and no doubt a great many in the crowd stole a look at the teletimer to check the fractions. At the top of the stretch, with still a quarter of a mile left to run, it was all over but the yelling, with the only remaining question to be answered was what the final margin of victory would be, and of course the final time. Blum was in the proverbial catbird seat for the entire trip, opening up a lead of 7, then 9, 10, and finally 12 lengths, the winning margin. He had never faced any kind of a challenge at all for the entire 10 furlongs. The final time was the expected sensational 1:59.3. Until this race, Gunbo became the first and only horse to have ever clocked less than 2 minutes for the distance in New York. Kelso appeared to have suffered no ill effect from the incident at the gate, returning after the race in good shape with no soreness. It was, very simply, that Gunbo had had his day, and a five-star effort indeed it was, July 1964, in the running of the Brooklyn Handicap.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street, and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Wonder what it feels like to be an owner inside the paddock before your horse races, but you don't know how to get started? Contact West Point Thoroughbreds to get inside the game. You can play in a big way, right away, by owning pieces of multiple horses, which increases your chances of action. West Point has been professionally managing racing partnerships for 25 years. West Point Thoroughbreds is the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit WestPointTB.com. That's WestPointTB.com. This advertisement is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to sell securities.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destin right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, an incomparable champion who has emerged as one of the most influential and breed-shaping stallions of the past half century. North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016, Taprit has sired 22 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $112 million on the racetrack. Among Tappet's recent Grade 1 standouts are multiple Grade 1 winner Frosted, Phillies Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time and Motion, Ring Weekend, and three Belmont Stakes winners, Tonalist, Creator, and Tappet. Look for Tappet yearlings at the upcoming Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And the field turns for home in the Alabama. On the outside, it's Tricky. And Plum Pretty digs down. They're going at each other with Royal Delta coming to them. Less than a furlong to go. And Royal Delta takes the lead and pulls away. And Royal Delta goes on to win the Alabama convincingly, beating its Tricky by 5.5 lengths. Long Shot, Pinch Pie finished third. Then Plum Pretty, St. John Street, Inglorious, Never Fired Today.
The one and only Tom Durkin on the call of the 2011 Alabama. Royal Delta would go on to three-year-old championship honors, partially by taking one of the most historic races for three-year-olds, fillies, in all the land. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. Yesterday afternoon, right before Jimmy Jerkin stopped by, Hall of Famer Bill Mott joined us on Express Bet Radio to talk about his two fillies in the Grade 1 Alabama later on this afternoon. Lockdown and Elate. He also looked back on the second of his two Alabama wins. He won it in 2005 with Sweet Symphony for George Steinbrenner's Kinsman Stable. And in 2011... with Royal Delta. And it was a race that Bill thinks springboarded her three-year-old championship season. Here's what Bill had to say yesterday on Express Bet Radio.
Yeah, actually, you know, it was a good start for her. I mean, I guess it propelled her into a championship season, and of course she was good enough to win three championships, so, you know, but the three-year-old one was of course very special.
Yeah, won one of your many Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic / Distaff later on that year with her as a three-year-old filly. Pretty tough feat in and of itself. Tomorrow's renewal, while it lacks the star power certainly of a Royal Delta at this point and time, pretty wide open race, and you're going to send out two.
Right. We, you know, lucky enough to have two chances. We got two nice fillies, two fillies that seem to be, you know, headed in the right direction. And, you know, both are coming off of good races. And with a little move forward, either one could have a chance in there.
Lockdown, not a lot of racing luck for Lockdown in her last two. In the Kentucky Oaks, she got shuffled a couple of times. A little traffic steadied. Talk a little bit about that trip, and do you think with a cleaner trip, maybe she could have got the money that day in the Kentucky Oaks?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I guess I wasn't too overly disappointed in the trip. You know, it was, you know, we found out that she probably belonged with the top group. I think after running in that race, she sure looked like, you know, she belongs and deserves a chance to run in a race like this.
And then last time out in the Mother Goose, stumbled at the break a little bit, more like a hop at the start, and then she wound up very, very wide. You had to be thrilled with that effort, made that big middle move into second, and then stayed on pretty nicely in the Grade 2 Mother Goose last time out.
Yeah, she did. You know, I think the big thing in this particular race is we're going from, you know, a mile and a sixteenth, we're moving up to a mile and a quarter, and it looked like, you know, with her run in the Kentucky Oaks, it looked like she was closing well. I mean, she was still coming at the end, and, you know, we're hopeful that the mile and a quarter will suit her real well.
Yeah, that was my next question. The mile and a quarter, her big sister, closed hatches, was good around the two turns. And this filly looks like she's going to like the mile and a quarter. The work tab, Bill, I've been a fan of this filly since day one. The work tab, she's been working very, very well. I mean, it's bullet after bullet after bullet. Comment a little bit about how she's been training in the morning.
Well, been probably a little bit more aggressive, of course, as you can see by the bullet works. You know, she looks good, and she's been certainly been aggressive enough in the morning. You know, hopefully that transfers into the afternoon and you know, can move her forward up to a race like this.
Got a red-hot rider in Manny Franco as well. Lockdown will break from post four. A couple of stalls to her outside. Elite will go with Jose Ortiz, and Elite coming into this off one of the more controversial races of the meet here at Saratoga. And, of course, we're talking with Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott. He'll have Lockdown in the Grade 1 Alabama. She was on the inside when Abel Tasman came over. A coin flip to a lot of people as far as whether or not Abel Tasman should have come down. You've been around this game your entire life, decade after decade. Take yourself out of the equation. You think you should have been put up in that race?
You know, I made it a tough call. I said it could go either way. The way they, you know, the stewards had been ruling on some of the calls here, I wasn't too sure that they would take it down. I think there's been a little herding going on, you know, throughout the meet, and they haven't taken many horses down for it. And in this case, they, you know, they left Abel Tasman up. I think it definitely probably intimidated our filly when the other one came over from the five path and came down on top of her, and definitely, you know, rode her a little tight. I mean, there wasn't any serious banging, but there was definite change in the angle that the winner took through the stretch. But, you know, a tough call. They left it, you know, they left it stand, and we'll just have to go with that. We'll just have to try to make it up this time.
Started off her career in brilliant fashion with that debut win at Aqueduct back on Thanksgiving weekend. And when she returned this year, a little enigmatic, showed up but didn't really have the same oomph she had when she broke her maiden, had that bad performance in the Ashland. She seems to have been, you seem to have righted the ship, not surprisingly. Have you noticed a big difference in her from the beginning part of this year to now?
Well, we always thought she was probably more of an Alabama type than an Oaks type. I felt the Kentucky Oaks in the earlier races were going to come up a little too soon for her. She's a little bit of a later developing filly. I mean, I know her maiden win was good, but then her next two or three races were, you know, just not a lot of improvement. Of course, she was pulled up in the Ashland when the rider thought she took a funny step around the turn, and just leaning on the side of caution, he eased her up. Really, as it turned out, there was nothing wrong with her, and she came back, you know, to train and run after that. I mean, nothing was out of place. But it seemed like, you know, it got her a little bit back on track when we took her to Delaware and ran her down there. It looked like she started moving forward, and then, of course, it was a big move forward, I think, when we ran in the Coaching Club Oaks.
All right, talking with Hall of Famer Bill Mott.
Just a timing thing, I think, with some horses. You know, it's just, you know, timing is everything, and some of them just aren't ready for their best races early in the spring.
Well, it's funny you bring up timing, because before we let you go, got to talk to you about Good Samaritan. And Good Samaritan are going to be one of the favorites next week in the Midsummer's Derby, the Grade 1 Travers. I remember, of course, that he was cross-entered, pre-entered in both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Juvenile Turf, opted to run in the latter. He ran very well in the Breeders' Cup last year. First time dirt, last time in the Jim Dandy. A sparkling performance to run by his four rivals. How's he doing leading up to the Travers?
Really good. He came out of the Jim Dandy in good shape, and he's really been he worked well for us, and he'll work again this weekend. But the way he's been acting, he seems to be very sharp. He feels good and moving well, and I couldn't be happier with the way he's coming into it. I mean, we're a week away, and so we still have that to overcome. So we've got, it becomes a waiting game. You know, the horse is doing well, and we're a week down the road. But if he continues to do as well as he is now, I'll feel good about him going into the race.
Looking forward to that extra furlong, the 10 furlongs of the Travers?
You know, just with his running style, I mean, you could imagine him getting another eighth of a mile with no problem. I mean, I think we saw a horse that lays back a little bit and runs late, and you know, the mile and a quarter is no guarantee, but with him, I think it's a good possibility that he gets the trip. He certainly closed well going a mile and a quarter on the turf. Now, of course, the dirt is a different situation, but I just, from what I saw in the Jim Dandy, it certainly appears like he could get a mile and a quarter with no problem.
Well, Bill, thanks for some time today. Good luck tomorrow with both lockdown and a late in the Grade 1 Alabama, and of course next Saturday in the Grade 1 Travers with Good Samaritan. We'll talk to you soon, Bill.
All right. Thank you.
Hall of Famer Bill Mott. Nice enough to stop by yesterday. Busy couple of weekends for the South Dakota native, as he'll have his hands full saddling both lockdown and a late today. And then, of course, a week from today. I cannot believe I'm saying that a week from today. It is already Travers Day in the Midsummer Derby. Looks like they're going to have a full field of 14. Should be a very interesting couple of weekends for the three-year-olds. Phillies today. Don't forget, we got the Lake Placid as well. That one's on the turf. And, of course, the Grade 1 Alabama mile and a quarter on what should be a fast main track. Again, if you're coming out and playing the races today, races 1 and 2 are off the turf here at Saratoga. Rest of the races remain on turf as scheduled. Speaking of the turf, we'll take a look at the two stakes out at Del Mar when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
The Basic Tipton Turf Showcase presented by Woodbine Racetrack, North America's first yearling sale for horses with turf appeal. Featuring 171 selected yearlings by some of the world's leading turf sires. With 40% of the nation's graded stakes held on grass, turf purses higher than ever, and the rising international success of U.S. breds, don't miss the Basic Tipton Turf Showcase presented by Woodbine Racetrack, September 10th in Lexington, Kentucky.
I know where I'll be. Where will you be?
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillips continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sale season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Cairo Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Ashley Love Sugar comes to take them on. Hunt nowhere to go. Hunt on the inside, full of run. Can he find room? Hunt nowhere to go. Homeward bound now. Ashley Love Sugar gets first run. Now there's a gap for Hunt. And Hunt comes through on the inside. Mr. Rory running a big one between them. Hunt on the inside, though, explodes the last 100. And Hunt and Flavian Pratt have taken the Eddie Reed. Ashley Love Sugar second. Then Mr. Rory. Close Kenja Storm up with the birds. And behind that, Wanstead Gardens and Abbey Vale.
Trevor Denman on the call of the Eddie Reed and Hunt. And Flavian Pratt got through and got the money. He'll try again today in the Del Mar Handicap. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A in for the Baron of the Backstretch. Well, big weekend here at Saratoga and out at Del Mar. It's been a big week for Shanghai Bobby. He had his first stakes winner this past Wednesday in the Bolton's Landing right here at the Spa. March Express is now unbeaten in two starts, and both times has shown an exceptional turn of foot. She's pointing now for the Grade 1 Natalma at Woodbine next. March Express is one of five winners so far from Shanghai Bobby's first crop this weekend. Uncle Mo, the one and only Uncle Mo, will be represented by Mopetism in the Grade 1 Alabama here on the East Coast. And on the West Coast, Accelerate will look to continue a hot run for Looking at Lucky in Pacific Classic. Head over to coolmore.com for more information on all of their stallions. Shanghai Bobby, Uncle Mo, Looking at Lucky, just to name a few. I got to tell you, that March Express, she had an exceptional turn of foot. Might be the understatement of the meet here at Saratoga. She won races within about 2.5 weeks of each other and exploded after troubled starts both times. She is... She's one to keep an eye on, and maybe one that we'll talk about one day in our next segment, the Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase Races of the Week.
The
they're off in the Breeders' Cup.
Gio Bonti adds the million to his grade one collection.
Wise Dan's got him. Wise Dan, brilliant in the mile.
$3 million.
Turf.
Little Mike now to seize the lead as they make their way toward the top of the stretch.
Point of Entry has defeated Animal Kingdom.
Nothing like turning the Keeneland Lawn into your personal playground. It is all Teppan to win the Coolmore, Jenny Wiley.
All right. Time now to dissect a couple of these turf races for the Fancy Tips and Turf Showcase race of the week. We got two for you this week. The only thing better than all the turfs that were just said in the intro would be if it was all surf and turf. I could go for a little surf and turf right now. No breakfast this morning yet. I just get iced coffee here, apparently. Del Mar Handicap, a grade two, goes as race number seven out where the turf meets the surf this morning. Mile and 3/8. And we have a big field for Del Mar Handicap. A Baker's Dozen, in fact. And breaking from post 11 is Hunt. The blinkers went on last time out for trainer Phil D'Amato. It was his second start of the year and easily the most potent so far of his career. Only went long, really, in his last three starts. He tried going long earlier in his career, but stretched back out by Phil off the hill races. And one turf sprint at Del Mar. He was real good last time with those blinkers on. And he's going to be tough to beat in here today, no question. But at 3-1, I think you can try and look around, maybe find a little value around him. He beat a couple who are back in here, Ashley Love Sugar and Mr. Rory. Ashley Love Sugar going to try to defend his Del Mar Handicap title, won by just a nose last year in virtually gate-to-wire fashion, the Hall of Famer Gary Stevens. Back aboard. This is a horse that likes Del Mar. I wouldn't say love. I would say like a win and 4 seconds from five starts. So obviously an affinity for this turf course, but almost always finds a way to lose. You know, we always talk about how, oh, this horse is a combined length away from being undefeated. Well, he's a nose away from being winless in five tries here at Del Mar. So those numbers work both ways. You think he's going to get a good trip today? Mile and 3/8 for Ashley Love Sugar. That shouldn't be an issue at all. Big John B is a horse I have made a lot of money with in my life, and he does love Del Mar turf. 3-4 with a second in his career. Another Phil D'Amato in here. Corey Nakatani. Big John B, he's tried a little bit of a different game for most of 2017. He's been on the dirt for his last three starts. The Tokyo City at that special mile and a half distance, the best effort. He got beat just a neck to Hard Aces, but the last two, not so good. Ran into Cupid, ran into Curlin Road and Hard Aces again, but he's going to get back to his favorite surface, and he's going to get back to his favorite distance. He is a perfect 3-3 at the mile and 3/8. I'm going to go with a little bit of a price in here. The 3, Big John B, to upset the Del Mar Handicap apple cart. That'll go in race number 7. They'll wrap things up where the turf meets the surf today with the grade 1 Del Mar Oaks for the 3-year-old fillies. A mile and 1/8 coming out of that turf chute. This is the distance they'll run the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare turf at this year. So same configuration. Get used to this, HRN Nation. You'll see this in less than 3 months out at Del Mar. Field of 14 in here, and I've been waiting for Mr. Neil Drysdale to get vexatious onto the turf. This filly tried the Kentucky Oaks earlier this year, and in fact, on that trail, she ran against the boys, Battle of Midway, and reached the world in an optional claimer allowance race, went to the Fairgrounds Oaks and ran well, ran to the Fantasy and ran well, got beat just 2 3/4 lengths in the Kentucky Oaks. Didn't really like the one turn last time. She was in a little bit of a different position. She was on the chase of Unchained Melody. Will be one of the favorites in the Alabama on the dirt. I don't know about that race last time out. I do know she's by Giants Causeway out of a Siberian summer mare. She's 8-1 on the morning line. Rafael Bejarano is going to climb aboard for Drysdale for the first time. They don't team up often, but at Del Mar, they win it right around 25%. So I think Mr. Drysdale means business today. Look, it's a wide-open race. You got Wesley Ward bringing Conte Partiro back from a Royal Ascot victory where she beat just a field of 24. So it's a wide-open kind of race. You got Madame Dance-a-Lot, who won the San Clement last time out. A very good renewal of this Del Mar Oaks Dream. Dancing shipping in from Mark Cassie as he splits his 2 3-year-old fillies up, La Cornell, here in the Lake Placid at Saratoga. But I'm going to take a shot with Vexatious, the number 7 in that Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks out at Del Mar later on today. That wraps the first hour here on the Equine Forum. When we come back, Naira's Andy Serling. You'll hear from Craig Dato, the CMO of Del Mar. And the pontiff of the Pick 4, Jude Feld, going to join us later on from Del Mar. We'll talk about those stakes a little bit more. That comes up in hour number 2. But right now, we have to pause 10 seconds for a legal identification break. We're back with hour number 2 right after we pause these 10 seconds for station ID. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire Dixon. Cloud Computing draws alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
Heart to heart at the 16th pole, a length from Bala Bali, free rose. Farhan late on the scene. Bala Bali gathers in heart to heart. Farhan charging, but Bala Bali wins the Shoemaker.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Arrogate just not in the mood today. Arrogate will finish far, far back. And it's Accelerate and Victor Espinosa clear by 8-9 lengths here. Accelerate romps home in the San Diego.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Welcome back, HRN Nation, to hour number 2 of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A, Anthony Stabile. That's me. I am sitting in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna, sure to be back next week for the Midsummer Derby, the Travers, right here at the Old Spa. Beautiful day here at Saratoga. And when you think about Saratoga, when you think about the New York Racing Association, a lot of people think about my buddy, Andy Serling, lead analyst here at NYRA, who was nice enough to take a few minutes out of a very busy weekend. They all are here at the Spa. Andy Serling from the New York Racing Association joins us now. Hi, Andy. Welcome to the Equine Forum, buddy.
And nothing it says Saratoga like the Big A. I mean, it's so great having you here. You should stay the rest of the meet. If I had an extra
I'll be, listen.
But I only have one now, so I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. It's like I'll be here the rest of the meet. I'm up a lot more than I'm down state. So you'll see plenty of me. We'll get to do a few more talking horses together, and
can't wait.
We'll get back to our we'll get back into the groove down at Belmont as well. I'll be doing the Wednesdays down at Belmont. So we'll be able to. You'll have plenty of time to pick apart my terrible handicapping.
Nothing makes me happier than seeing you sitting next to me and talking horses.
We did good yesterday. We had a couple. We got that Pete's play call home, 16
yeah,
change.
You know,
the Diodoro from the rail.
I was too much of a wise guy. You know, I tried to beat the Fletcher in the last race. It's sort of stupid of me. You know, I just played them pick threes because I had no idea in that seventh race. And as it turned out, that was the wise move because I could never have had Kieran Swartz.
Yeah, yesterday. You said this when we were talking horses yesterday, and I put it in the back of my head for today. You said when we did the show you liked the off-the-turf days, and we've been spoiled by the weather up here the past few seasons. We've had a few off-the-turf days here this season. talk about the meet in general. How's it been treating you? What have you noticed as far as any trends or biases? Anything to give the HRR Nation a little bit of an edge going into the day today?
I think that sticks out is the main track. It's, you know, it's been inside-y for a great deal of the meet. I mean, not every day and not always clear cut, but in general, the track's favored inside runners, and it's actually also been very almost overly kind to speed horses. So that's sort of, I think, been the biggest thing to take away from this meet, you know, that just haven't been as fair a racetrack as we've seen in past years, for whatever reason. Like I said, not always the case, but it's been pretty ever-present. You know, the thing is that for me, that makes it tough. I think you'll agree that making picks in advance for tracks that end up being biased, it's very tricky because it's even hard to determine who's going to be the inside speed, even if you, you know, have these days on the inner. It's, you know, and the riders become aware of it, and it adds a real randomness factor. It'll help going forward when the tracks are fair, you know, betting horses against or on horses based on their trips in those tracks. But that's been a little bit frustrating. You know, the turf, there's not even much they can do about the turf. The inner turf, because of the general lack of rain, I think the inside paths have gotten pretty strong. But there's not much they can do about that, you know. And we'll see when the rails come down this week. And we got a little bit of rain. It's supposed to be nice, at least through Travers weekend. So we'll see. But, it's, you know, it's fun up here. And the racing's tough and competitive. I've managed to be up a few dollars, nothing of any consequence. But I'm happy not to be losing. I have been pretty careful. And, you know, I had one nice hit, and it was on that Saratoga Monmouth pick four on, was it?
The cross country, okay.
You know how it is. You make one hit and it sort of can hold you over for quite a few losers. And that's what I sort of always hope for up here. I hope to win and do really well. By the very least, if you can find a little hit here and there. I made a few dollars this week, but it's not easy, you know, but it's fun. So we like the challenge, you know. I don't think either one of us expects to get rich at the racetrack, but we'd like to be in action, and we enjoy the challenge. I think you and I are very similar in that respect.
I agree 100%. I actually managed to turn Cole Front into my biggest hit. How you turn a 4-5 shot into your biggest hit in the meet is, well, that's the kind of meet I've been having.
But Cole Front's been I'll tell you how I got it, but. Well, you like the second horse, Al Stahl's horse, or you hit multis or something?
Yeah, I hit the double. I hit the double, and I hit the exacta. That's all I really liked for the day. And I talked myself off a Good Samaritan that day because of the inside speed track.
Well, so, but that horse rode the rail.
But that kind of mean. But,
you know, 7/8 of the mile and eighth. You know, I think that's something people are underrating in that race. You know, how much time do horses spend on the rail? The only other horse that spent as much time on the rail as Good Samaritan was Always Dreaming. Well, obviously, none of us would bet in the Travers. But this week I made a really good hit in the race at that Commend entry one in a 5.5 furlong turf race and paid $290.
There you go.
I said this on, you know, if anybody was watching Saturday Alive knows what I said, which was I was playing a 1-5 exacta. The 5 was the longest shot on the board, and basically mostly betting a 1-6-5 triple because I thought the 6 should have been the second choice, and they somehow made the 7 the second choice. So I put, you know, a few dollars into it, and I end up hitting the triple for almost over a third of my bet was on the try, which paid $80 or $79 for $2 with a 290 horse winning in a 7 betting interest field.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not going to work that way, but there's a way, you know, basically saying this entry can't lose. They ran 1-2, as we expected. And basically, you're almost playing an exacta behind them. You know, it's like you made a win bet on the 5, assuming they'll win, and then you made an exacta behind them and hit it, and it paid big. You know, that's the way you can win. I mean, as you know, you and I are looking to bet against favorites, but we also know, as you say with Cole Front, that a big favorite can be your friend, too. You can be your
absolutely
best.
Yep, absolutely. Talking with Andy Sterling from the New York Racing Association. Got a couple of nice stakes here at the spot today. Lake Placid goes as race number 8, grade 2, mile and eighth on the turf. Just a field of 6, but we have the returning La Coronel. She tried Royal Ascot last time off a pair of grade 3 wins in Kentucky at Keeneland and Churchill on the Appalachian and the Edgewood. We buying into this favor today, Andy? Or are you looking elsewhere?
Well, I think that we buy into the fact that she's talented. I mean, I think her best race makes her tough, but this is not a weak field. So it's not like she's coming back and she lays over these horses. I think she ran fine at Ascot. She just wasn't quite good enough. You know, you see her at 25-1. The winner of that race, Winter, is really good. We know Roly Poly is good. Hydrangea.
Yeah.
These are world-class talented fillies on the turf. I wonder if going a mile and eighth, you know, now coming off a 2-month layoff and a trip to Europe, is going to be the perfect scenario for her. And frankly, the horses that ran 1-2 in the Lake George, these are serious horses, and they're improving. I'm not a big weight guy, but Proctor's Pledge does pick up 7 pounds in a shift over Party Boat, and I think that's significant. And I think the Party Boat ran fine last time out. So I'm going to take Party Boat over Proctor's Ledge with a little luck or no. I'm not going to let her beat me. I don't like Uni in here. For all those people who think I'd pick every Chad Brown horse, I don't. And one of the things up here is, you know, you try to bob and weave through both Chad Brown and especially Todd Fletcher this year, who seems to have conjured up a billion horses out of nowhere to be winning all these races. And it's almost in respect to him. He's obviously really charted out the Saratoga meet to get there. But I don't like Uni. My feeling in that Belmont Oaks was that they had taken the rails down that day for the first time since Belmont weekend. On the inner turf, the inside portion was extremely strong, and she got a tremendous ride by Ira Ortiz, never leaving the strong fence. And her third-place finish, while a decent performance, was really nowhere near as good as it might look on paper. And I believe with that finish, the big race, Chad Brown, she's going to take a ton of money, and I don't like her in here.
All right. Guess who I like in the Lake Placid?
You don't like Uni, dude. Come on.
I do. Yeah, I do, but I do. This is another good talking horses race today.
Whatever. Save $5 for socks.
I absolutely. I don't think anybody got that Odd Couple reference yesterday, but.
People do. At the very actually, least. People get the obtuse references. Not all of them, but some of them. All right, who do you like in the Alabama? I'm not going to knock anybody too much in the Alabama, except for I don't like a late.
Right. And, well, can I ask you this? Do you remember, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, can you remember a year where the Alabama and the Travers were both as wide open, apparently, as they are going into this weekend?
I want to say 78 when, or 77 when, but I don't know if it was.
73, yeah. So I looked at that last night. I'm in 77.
Yeah, and I think the Run Dusty Run, that Travers was also a big field, I believe. But it's been a long time. I'll tell you something. There was a time not that long ago that, you know, after the Breeders' Cup, when that Philly Breeders' Cup, the two-year race, was like such a disaster, right? We're saying, oh, my God, these fillies are horrible. They suck, you know, the two-year-old fillies, and the three-year-old year. I got to tell you, I think the three-year-old fillies this year are as thrilling and deep a group as we've had in a long time. You know, you don't even
need
Bella isn't running. I think that Paradise Woods is coming back next week. Sky that Sky Horse, Miss Sky Warrior, she's on the shelf. We're not even talking about American Gal, the sprinter. To get a field like this for the Alabama with those horses and Abel Tasman sitting it out. I mean, this is remarkable, right? This has got to be the best Alabama in 20 years, easily.
Right, as far as contention, as far as if you're coming out here today and you're looking to, you know, take a little swing into a race, this is the race for you, because the favorite's going to be 3-1, and if Unchained Melody and that morning line holds up, she has never seen a second turn in her career.
I'm
so
a big fan of her.
Yeah,
that's a fair question.
Okay,
there's no, you know, you look at this race and there isn't a single horse you look at and go, well, this guy's an idiot for entering. Because there's no horse in this race that can't win or get a piece of it. None of them. And that even includes Mopetism, the 8 horse, who actually ran really well against the track last time out.
Yeah.
I think it's a wonderful race. I am a
wide open as it gets.
Melody. What's that?
Okay. It's as wide open as it gets. You're 100% right.
You know, I think that Unchained Melody, I'm a believer, and I believe she'll be very tough in here. I've been, you know, very visually impressed with her races. She seems to have a different gear. You know, Lockdown came during the stretch, and Lockdown ran very well in that race at the stumbling start. But Unchained Melody was setting a very legitimate pace there. And Unchained Melody sort of just took off on her again in the stretch. So I'm a believer, but I have no issue with your question. You know, we don't know if she can get the distance around two turns. We know that New Money Honey can, and Chad Brown has talked about running her on the turf for a long time. The dam's a half any given Saturday, among others. This is a dirt pedigree as much, if not more, than the turf pedigree. And he talked to me, you know, seriously about running in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly dirt race. Obviously, it worked out in the turf, so no complaints. But she's good. Holy Elena's got to transfer the form from synthetics, but we know she can win on the dirt. And there's nothing wrong with her. I don't like it as well. And out of the Delaware race, I much prefer Actress, but they're not bad horses. I don't know about Lockdown getting the distance, but she's talented and can win. Salty, I question her getting the distance, but boy, did she run good in the out. I mean, she ran great in the CCAO. It's unbelievable how well she ran
there. Yeah, she did.
Late might be improving at the right time. I liked her last time. I think she got a very, very good trip, save getting fouled late. Mopetism was against it last time, probably against weaker, but she's running figures in the 90s, so why can't she be in there? You know, who's the weak link here relative to their price?
No, there isn't one. There isn't one. I like Lockdown because we talked to Belmont yesterday, and just the way she's been training and, you know, she's just had a little time between the races, I think she's going to run well today. And I, as a long shot, I'm using Actress. I think Actress is going to like the mile and a quarter.
Absolutely.
I think she's going to come running. It's funny, though. We have 2 mile and a quarter horses in the race. One wins on turf. One wins on synthetic. So we really don't know if either of them are going to transfer that form to the dirt.
No, I mean, listen, this is a really – really fun. I mean, this is what horse racing is about, right? I mean, this is the kind of race that you go, remember when we used to get, you know, and we're always wrong, we never used to get races like this. This is, you know, I can remember, I'll tell you, I remember that Alan Mims. I like Small Raja. She had won the Monmouth Oaks when Sensational lost her rider, Woody Stevens horse, was favored. And then she came back and won the test, and she was favored in the Alabama. She was like 3-2. She's a heavy favorite. She ran nowhere, and Our Mims just blasted the field. And I think Our Mims came back like 20 minutes later and beat older fillies and mares in the Delaware Handicap, if you want to look it up. You know, that was in those days, and they ran back, and Veach was never afraid to come back. And, of course, the test back then was 9 days before the Alabama, and the test winner almost always ran in the Alabama. And that was some war. Weren't there a ton of horses when Our Mims won it?
I was 6 months old.
Really?
I was 6 months old.
Times. Yeah, I think it was a big, big field. But this is a great race,
buddy.
And it's a beautiful day. And
couldn't help you.
Just looking forward to the whole day.
You got one you really like to give HRR Nation? I gave them 11 over at the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts last night. You got one for us today?
You know, I'm having trouble up here sort of pinpointing one horse I want to bet on. You know, it's tough. I'll give you a horse I want to bet that's a big price. In race 6, I want to bet the 5 Hookup for our friend Dave Canizzo. And this is a horse that really ran well in its debut. And I'm kind of hoping this horse can get enough pace and the track as fast is fair enough that he can come running. I'm a fan. I think Hookup might be okay. And maybe today's the day to bet him and get $16. So that's my best idea.
All right. Andy, thanks for some time today. I know you're swamped. Okay.
I always got time for you, my
hook
friend.
Hook up. Try and hook up later on here at the spot.
All right, man. See
you. I know that. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll see you later. All right. And Andy Serling from the New York Racing Association. He likes Hook Up as a little bit of a price play. Looks. I think the numbers were 2-4 in the Lake Placid, and he's like me. I'm using 4 horses in that Alabama today. That Alabama is straight up crazy today. But those are the best kind of races. If you're coming out looking for value today, you will find it certainly in that Alabama. All right, time now for the Blood Horse News Update. Look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Always Dreaming confirmed for Travers. Trainer Todd Fletcher saw 3 of his possible starters in the $1.25 million Grade 1 Travers Stakes presented by Naira Betts. Breeze early the morning of August 18th at Saratoga Racecourse. Kentucky Derby presented by Yum Brands. Grade 1 winner Always Dreaming ran 4 furlongs and 49-3 on the Oklahoma training track in company with Outplay. While Belmont Stakes presented by Naira Betts Grade 1 winner Taprit worked a half mile on the same track in 50-1. Always Dreaming, with John Velasquez up, breezed for the 3rd time on the training track since he finished 3rd in the Grade 2 Jim Dandy, July 29th. Outplay, the winner of the Curlin Stakes, July 28th, was officially clocked in 49-4. We were just looking for a good, positive work, Fletcher said. They both ran Jim Dandy weekend and breezed well last week, so we just wanted a good indication that they are maintaining form and doing well. I thought they both finished up extremely well and galloped out strongly. All the things you were hoping to see. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Bloodhorse.com, the Thoroughbred Industries' go-to site, has been redesigned. While the content information you rely upon remains the same, there are some new features. They include a responsive design that has adjusted display for all of your devices. It's easier to use on your phones and tablets, as it is mobile and tablet-friendly. The highlighted photography and aesthetic features for improved navigation, and quite simply, it's easier to read. Visit the redesigned bloodhorse.com today on your phone, tablet, or computer. You're going to like what you see. All right, big day here at Saratoga, big day at Del Mar. When we come back, the Chief Marketing Officer, Craig Dato, sat down with Jude Feld yesterday. We'll have a few words from Craig. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
How do I see New York breds perform?
Disco.
Here's New York sire Disco Partner setting a new world record in the Jaipur.
Holy mackerel!
And they perform like multiple Grade 1 winner Mind Your Biscuits.
And he's pouring it on late!
Winning the Belmont Sprint Championship. And New York breds perform in the sales ring, where this filly sold for $750,000. Look for your registered New York performer at upcoming auctions.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And on the outside, Tiger Moth is coming and coming quickly here. And Tiger Moth is going to the winner's circle. She takes the 36th running of the Grade 3 Groupie Doll by just about a length.
Near the back of the field early on, Tiger Moth, the daughter of Darley Stallion Street Sense, stormed home to win the Grade 3 Groupie Doll at Ellis Park last weekend, recording her fifth career victory. And that winning effort makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Sense, the first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Kentucky Derby. He now stands alone atop a distinguished list of stallions. No stallion standing for less than $75,000 can match Street Sense's five Grade 1 winners on dirt since 2013. More Than Spikestown, Malibu Moon, Candy Ride, and Giant's Causeway. To learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And here is Shared Belief on the grandstand side going right on by. Homeward Bound in the Pacific Classic, and it's all Shared Belief. Toast to New York, Game On Dude dropping out of it. But it is Shared Belief in another absolutely awesome performance. Shared Belief will remain unbeaten and basically untested. Mike Smith and Shared Belief have won the TVG Pacific Classic. Toast to New York second. Imperative Land on Lake with Irish Surf and Game On Two. Then Majestic Harbour behind an ice cream truck. You know I know. And then Mystery Train and Clubhouse Rock.
Has there been a great racehorse in the last 15 years that Mike Smith didn't ride? Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. He'll be back right here, Section 2B. If you're out this morning coming out to the races, come say hello. I am here with on-site producer Michelle Penna, back in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios. It's our producer, Lee Della Pina. Big day across the country Saturdays at Saratoga, presented by visitbarbados.org. Kicks off at 5 o'clock. It'll be Mike Beer from the Daily Racing Forum and myself. We're on from 5 to 6. We have exclusive coverage of the Grade 2 Lake Placid and Grade 1 Alabama. From 6 to 7, an encore performance of Trainer Talk, presented by Fasic Tipton. The Colonel, my man Kieran McLaughlin, sat down for the hour. It aired originally this past Wednesday, encore performance tonight from 6 to 7, and then from 7 to 9. Jeff Bloom, Jude Feld, on site where the turf meets the surf at Del Mar, bringing plenty of stakes coverage, including that Grade 1 Pacific Classic. We asked you earlier in the show, HRRN Nation, what was going to happen with the one and only Arrogate today? How would he perform in that Grade 1 Pacific Classic? Goes off right around 8:30 Eastern time tonight. And my vote is in, and my vote is leading with 44%. The nation feels like he will dominate, and I think the real Arrogate will show up today. That head scratcher last time, I think, will remain that through the annals of time. I don't think we'll ever know what happened in that San Diego. 44% of you think he will dominate. 28% believe it'll be a workmanlike win. And I don't think anybody at this point could hold it against him if maybe he's just still knocking off the dust and rust from the trip to Dubai. Maybe he doesn't like Del Mar anymore. Who knows? 28% of you think it'll be a workmanlike win. 27% of you, this is a big number, think he'll get beat. I don't see that happening today. But 27% of you do. And 1% of you think he will run like he did in the San Diego. So I believe that is one person out there thinks he's going to run like he did in the San Diego. And that's about right. I do not think this horse would be anywhere near a racetrack if Bob Baffert, Garrett O'Rourke, or anybody at Team Judmont thought this, Mike Smith included, thought this horse was going to run the same way he did in the San Diego. So there you go, 44% of you HR Nation think the Great Arrogate, best I've ever seen, will dominate that Grade 1 Pacific Classic. You'll hear it tonight from 7 to 9. Sirius XM 93 for all of our Saturdays at Saratoga and Del Mar coverage, and of course streaming live here on your home for all of racing's biggest days, horseracingradio.net. Out at Del Mar, Chief Marketing Officer Craig Dado came by for his weekly summer visit during the boutique meet. Jude Feld caught up with Craig yesterday. Here's what Craig had to say.
I'm here in the beautiful general offices of the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club with Executive Vice President Craig Dado. Craig, this is a big week for Del Mar Pacific Classic coming up. Talk about what you go through this week.
I'll tell you what, it's an interesting Pacific Classic because all the Breeders' Cup folks are in town this week with NBC broadcasting the race not only Saturday but obviously doing the Breeders' Cup. So we've been in constant meetings with the Breeders' Cup guys all week because, you know, we're only about 72 days away from the Breeders' Cup, so things are starting to get serious. So I think the Breeders' Cup is looking at Pacific Classic Day as a little bit of a trial run of how we run a big race day, and we need to do a good job.
Well, Del Mar Thoroughbred Club always has a great day on Pacific Classic. It's very exciting for the fans, and a lot of people come out for this, look forward to it every year. You've got some really special wagers coming up too that are going to make a big difference.
Yeah, we decided, as far as our pick six is concerned, that we would do a mandatory payout on Pacific Classic Day and add a little spice to it. Now, if the gambling gods can just cooperate with us and get us a big carryover going into the day, that would really be something. The new wrinkle on our pick six this year has been the jackpot single ticket bonus. And right now that number is getting to be pretty big. If we can survive another day and have a jackpot going into Pacific Classic Day, I think the players, given that it is a mandatory payout day, will really play the bet quite a bit.
Yeah, well, the pick six has always been a popular wager in Southern California, and you've really taken advantage of some of the benefits of the pick six and the jackpot payouts. So that's an interesting wrinkle that you don't see at other racetracks. You've also got a special wager, a special pick four wager. Talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to do an all-stakes pick four with the guys at Saratoga. We did this last year, and we were really surprised that this thing handled over $600,000. So the liquidity was definitely there, and we know that's what big players want. So we decided to go right back and do it again this year. The two races from Saratoga are going to be the Lake Placid and the Alabama, and then the two races from Del Mar will be the Pacific Classic and the Del Mar Oaks, which, by the way, came up as an amazing race. It's a big field, very difficult to handicap. So those four races together will make up the all-stakes pick four. I just want to remind everybody the Lake Placid goes at 2:02 Pacific time, so make sure to get your pick four in time. For us West Coasters, that's right about first post, so you need to get it together for the pick four.
Yeah, the Del Mar Oaks is just an unbelievable race. Lots of nice fillies in there, and what a way to end that pick four. You're going to have to do a lot of spreading, so the handle should go up this year, I would think.
Well, the handle last year was amazing. We had the matchup of California Chrome and Beholder, which really got us a lot of attention. So the handle was amazing. If we can hit last year's number, we'll be really happy. But we're certainly going to have a great Pacific Classic day. The fields all day are incredible. And I tell you what, you know, the Pacific Classic's hard to figure. What do you do with Arrogate? Is he going to be the regular Arrogate and blow him away, or is he going to throw in a similar performance as he did in the San Diego? So to me, that's a real head-scratcher, and I think it's an interesting racing card.
Yeah, it definitely is, and it is a head-scratcher. We were talking to Doug O'Neill this morning a little bit about the race. He has a couple of possible upsetters, and I asked him, well, what do you have to do to win this race? And he goes, I have no idea, in typical Doug fashion. So anyway, it is a handicapping puzzle. The whole card is just sensational. I really enjoyed handicapping the Del Mar Saturday card. Now, you got the Breeders' Cup coming up. You touched on that earlier. It's a bucket list race for a lot of people to come to Del Mar for the Breeders' Cup. People have been waiting for this for a long, long time, myself included. Talk about the Breeders' Cup coming up and what you guys are doing.
Well, now, selfishly, the big objective for all of us here at Del Mar is we want to get the Breeders' Cup back again and again. We want to be on that short list and maybe even have it back as early as 2020. So we need to show the guests, our guests, a great time when they come to Del Mar. So we're going to do an entire Breeders' Cup festival starting the Saturday before. We're going to do everything from golf tournaments at Torrey Pines and Rancho Santa Fe Country Club to music festivals to food festivals. We're going to have multiple events every night during Breeders' Cup week. So this is not the year to roll in on Thursday for the races Friday, Saturday. This is the year to come in on Monday and make it a week-long vacation and really enjoy the weather and the beaches and the hotels and the restaurants that Del Mar has to offer. So ticket sales are indicating that about 70% of those people who are buying tickets are from outside of Southern California. So the world is really coming here, and we just cannot wait to put on a great show and, again, hopefully make the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar a regular occurrence.
Well, I heard a whisper that it might show back up here in 2020, and now you've kind of semi-confirmed that, so I'm very excited because this is a place that holds a lot of special memories for me. I won a lot of stakes here. I always had a great meet at Del Mar, so the more racing we can have here at Del Mar, the better I like it. But you guys have just outdid yourself. I've seen a lot of the Breeders' Cup people walking around this morning checking things out, so the pressure's on.
The pressure is on, and I don't want to make it sound like the Breeders' Cup is indicated we're getting in 2020. That's just my wishful thinking. I want to make that clear. Yeah, the Breeders' Cup people have been here all week. It's been great working with, you know, Craig Fravel used to be my boss here at Del Mar for many, many years. So to have him come in as the head of the Breeders' Cup, he knows Del Mar as well as anybody, and his staff are a bunch of guys that I've worked with forever. So it's great working with these guys. It's our first one, so we're really excited. And there's a big countdown clock that I look at whenever I drive in out on the corner of Jimmy Durante and Via de la Valle that's saying like 73 days now, and it stresses me out every time I come to work, but we could not be more excited.
Well, you guys really have always excelled, and I don't expect anything less here for the Breeders' Cup. We're looking forward to it, and thanks for the time this morning.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and let's have a great Pacific Classic, which is, of course, a win-in-year-in race. The winner of this will be in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
That was Jude Feld with Craig Dado, Executive Vice President. He's the Chief Marketing Officer, too. I'm not going crazy. HR and Nation, so. but EVP's a little, get the puff the chest out a little more than the CMO, but Craig does a lot of good work out there. They do a fantastic job with the Friday Night Concert Series. They had Ludacris out there this year. It's a pretty good get the Del Mar Turf Club. So, yeah, it's been a fun summer out there, and we'll see what it's like on track, because when we come back, first we'll hear from Doug O'Neill, Jude alluded to in his interview with Craig. He sat down with Doug earlier yesterday, so we'll hear that interview. And then we'll hear from the pontiff of the Pick Four himself, Jude Feld, who is out in the Del Mar area for our coverage of the Del Mar Handicap and the Grade 1 Pacific Classic later on tonight, 7 to 9 here, Eastern Time on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll hear from Doug O'Neill and Jude when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
The graded stakes-winning son of Bernardini is off to a sensational start at stud. Among the leading freshman sires by winners and graded stakes horses, his first crop two-year-olds commanded prices up to 36 times his stud fee. Leading progeny include TD and Rising Star Recruiting Ready, second in the Bashford Manor Stakes, and Stakes Place performer Junkin. The pedigree, speed, and class to become the next star in this sensational sire line. Algorithms at Claiborne Farm.
Zest Fabrication is Kentucky's only true fabrication shop and portable welding business. Family owned and operated, Zest Fabrication has built a reputation of success in several industries, including farm and equine. Working with many of Kentucky's most prestigious farms, Zest Fabrication provides top quality equine equipment, including paddock gates, stall yoke, Dutch doors, and entrance gates, and will even repair your current equipment. Visit vestfab.com to view samples and schedule your free estimate today.
Maryland is synonymous with the Hall of Fame. Once again, Maryland boasts connections with two 2017 Hall of Fame inductees firmly rooted in the state. Trainer Tom Voss lived and trained in Maryland, while steeplechase horse Goodnight Shirt was bred in Maryland. Maryland, we've got the horses, the horsemen, and the history, and with the current upswing in our breeding and racing, it's the place to be. Better stallions, better mares, Maryland breds. And don't forget, this year's Maryland Million Day is Saturday, October 21st.
Adena Springs Stallion, Fort Larned.
Fort Larned to catch, and they're not going to catch him.
The fastest two-turn horse of his generation, recording 8 fires from 107 to 117 and 9 Ragozins from 1 to 3.5.
And he's coming home, turning handsprings. Fort Larned, brilliant in the Stephen Foster.
A winner of 10 career starts and nearly $4.5 million in purses.
It's nose and nose to the wire. Fort Larned has won it.
Fort Larned won the Grade 1 Whitney Handicap in a hand ride late with a final time of 147 and 3/5 before wiring the field in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic in 2 minutes flat, earning a 117 buyer, and then taking the Grade 1 Stephen Foster by 6 1/4 lengths in 147 and 2/5. First crop two-year-olds by Fort Larned have sold for up to $170,000. Classic, Mr. Prospector Speed, and Free of Northern Dancer. A superior racehorse. Fort Larned, standing at Adena Springs. Visit AdenaStallions.com.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They have a quarter of a mile to go and accelerate out here. We're looking at a massive upset. Arrogate is still far, far back in the fourth spot. And Accelerate has opened up. Accelerate is well cleared to Domworth. Arrogate just not in the mood today. Arrogate will finish far, far back. And it's Accelerate and Victor Espinosa clear by 8-9 lengths here. Accelerate romps home in the San Diego. Second, Donworth. Third, Katberger. Obviously something amiss today with Arrogate. He never fired at all. And Al Hufano was last.
A shocking San Diego upset as Accelerate took him flag fall to That's All. He's going to try and do it again, along with six others, try to dethrone the champ one more time. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. I'm the Big A, sitting in for the Baron. We have Jeff Plume and Jude Feld out at Del Mar. We'll hear from Jude in just a few minutes. But yesterday, Jude caught up with his buddy Doug O'Neill, two-time Kentucky Derby winner. Doug O'Neill's going to take two swings at Arrogate with Curlin Road and Donworth. Donworth, you just heard, was second in that San Diego last time out. Del Mar placed near and dear the boat to both Jude and Doug. They reminisced a little bit and talked about his two upset chances in that Pacific Classic later on today. Yesterday, here's Doug O'Neill.
I'm here at Del Mar with trainer Doug O'Neill. And Doug, I remember our first Del Mar together when you were just a young man right out of high school. You came down here and worked the meet. Talk about that a minute.
That was incredible. Honestly, you allowing me to do that. And I remember, you know, just feeling like I was in the locker room of a big sporting event, you know, being with alongside all these horses that I had just been watching run a week or so earlier and betting on, which I shouldn't have been betting on them, but I was. But yeah, thank you for that. And it really, I love the sport, love the horses, and you let me get nice up and close and get my hands dirty, and been doing it ever since.
Did you ever think that you would win two Kentucky Derbies when you were back here walking hots?
No, you know, the beauty of this game is that my big dream was just how can I figure out a way to pay the rent, stay in the game and pay the rent. And, you know, and then when Mr. Paul Redham came on board, everything kind of got elevated from there. But now, you know, it's a day in, day out, a lot of hours. And we all love what we do. But, you know, I never thought about that. Man, that was incredible. But even if that didn't happen, it's still just incredible to be working back here alongside these great horses.
Well, I'll tell you, it was incredible for me to walk in the barn area and see the Derby signs here by your barn. You can't forget every morning when you walk in the Doug O'Neill barn. That's pretty cool.
It's very cool. Yeah, we're so blessed. And, yeah, it's one of those questionable things. I don't know how crazy I am about it's a little bit I feel like I'm bragging a little bit. But, you know, I think it's such a pride thing for the whole team. And, you know, we feel so blessed to have been part of I'll Have Another and Nyquist. I guess there's nothing wrong with remembering them through a sign on the barn there.
Well, you have a couple horses in the Pacific Classic, and you're going to try to do the Alan Jerkins thing and knock off Arrogate, who's everybody's, you know, big horse. Talk about Donworth first.
Yeah, you know, Donworth's a horse that he's so gifted, you know, being a son of Tiz now, the class is for sure there, the body's there, and he's just been plagued with a bunch of little injuries, and knock on wood, as we speak, he's doing really good. I think he really needed that effort in the San Diego, so we're looking forward to him really moving forward in the Pacific Classic, and if he does, I think he's got a chance.
He's one of those horses that every once in a while he shows tremendous flashes of brilliance, and he just needs to put it all together. You think he's come around a little bit?
I think so. You know, I had talked to Graham Motion a while back at Keeneland, and he had Donworth initially, and he said he really thought he was his Derby horse, but he was just so physically so large and so big and a tad backwards mentally. He knew, I don't think we're going to make a three-year-old season with him, but that's kind of how he's been, you know, and just lately it seems like the mind, the body, everything's coming together, the soundness. So, I know we wouldn't be shocked if he ran huge.
Now, you've also got Curlin Road, who's coming off a victory going a mile and a half in the Cougar. Talk about him a minute and his tactical speed.
Yeah, you know, I think the big plus with him is he's won, like you say, a mile and a half over this surface, which is great. Flavian Pratt, who won on him, he's come back and worked him, and he's just floored by, you know, that he's not already like a grade one horse. That's how he feels to him. So love having, I think he's leading the meet right now, having a meet leading rider with that much confidence on him, I think. And if a pace sets up, you know, Curlin Road's one of those he likes to, you know, kind of make his move mid-race and grind it down the lane. And I think he's got an outside chance as well.
What do you have to do to beat Arrogate if he runs his race? And I know that's kind of a big if.
Yeah, I don't know. If you put your thumb over Arrogate's last race, I mean, he's absolutely unbeatable. But, you know, Bob's other horse in there, I know a few of the guys who work over there, and they think Collected might be equally as solid. So he's definitely holding pocket aces in this race. But as we've seen, you know, in all racing, they're not machines. So if for whatever reason they just aren't feeling it, don't like the track that particular day, we can jump up. But I really think it's going to take something crazy to beat either one of Bob's horses in this race.
Well, if you're feeling a little nutty, get a $2 box on Doug O'Neill's Two Horses and go to the finest restaurant in town. That's Doug O'Neill at Del Mar.
All right, that was Jude Feld yesterday with Doug O'Neill again, Curlin Road and Donworth. Two long shot tries against the one and only Arrogate later on this afternoon. And Jude will be on our broadcast with Jeff Bloom. The Del Mar coverage from 7 to 9, SiriusXM 93, horseracingradio.net. That's 7 to 9 Eastern time. The only thing better than Jude Feld on tape is the Pontiff of the Pick 4 live. And we have Jude now from Del Mar. Jude, a little bit of a homecoming for you out there where the turf meets the surf. I sort of envision it like Superman when he goes into the stratosphere to get some power from the sun. Have you been rejuvenated out there in the San Diego area?
Yeah, you know, it's always great to come to Del Mar. The people are just so welcoming. You know, we see a lot of my friends. Everybody's always happy to see me, which is, you know, really nice. It's very enjoyable to be here. I won a lot of races at Del Mar. It was a meet that I always kind of pointed for. And I've had just a really nice time talking to people and visiting and catching up. So, yeah, it's great. It's great for me.
And you just so happen to get to see the best horse in the world, a horse that you and I we were really there for the birth when he won the Travers last year. We were standing right here on our perch at the spa, and we looked at each other, jaws dropped, and didn't even know what to say. A lot of jaws dropped last time, too, but for a completely different reason than that San Diego.
Yeah, you know, Arrogate didn't look very good in the San Diego. I didn't think he was very Arrogate-like. He's done some great things in his career, and that race was out of character. He didn't look comfortable on the track. I was actually reading an article this morning about Phil D'Amato. He's got two horses in the Del Mar handicap for my old client, Mr. House, and he was saying how the track was really, really bad on San Diego Handicap Day, and a lot of horses didn't like it. So, you know, maybe that's an excuse. Usually great horses can run on anything, but, you know, I don't know. I think it's one of those situations where you either got to throw the race out and go off his old form, or, you know, believe that the last race was true and bet against them. It's a hard decision to make.
And what decision have you decided to make?
Well, I'm going to probably go against them. I think the race kind of sets up for collected. I don't think there's going to be a speed duel. I think, you know, collected's going to get out front and they're going to have to catch him. So that's kind of my opinion. I think Doug's horses have a good chance. That's why I wanted to interview him yesterday to find out what he thought, because his horses have tactical speed. They look like they're both going to get great trips, and I think either one of them could upset. Curlin Road's really sharp right now. Donworth has tons of ability. I mean, he could possibly be, you know, a star in the making if he could ever get his head right. He just seems like a horse that's his own worst enemy, and he's capable of big races on occasion, but he hasn't really fired one of those big races lately. But he's got the speed figures in the past to do it, and, you know, he might be an interesting play. I think you have to kind of spread that race. I could see throwing Arrogate in because you don't want to, you know, miss the pick four because of Arrogate. But if he wins, he's probably not going to pay much anyway. So it's an interesting decision.
Yeah. Collected, you know, when you look at Collected's PPs, he's been really good this year. And worse horses than him have gotten loose on a front end and kept on going. You see some breaks, though, that long May to April break from last year to this year, then the April to June, now almost 2 months again. At the very least, he fires. But I just wonder that mile and a quarter may be a little bit out of his reach, especially off that little break.
Yeah, that's another consideration. The distance is something that you have to think about. And even though I think Collected's a faster horse than Accelerate in general. If you look at Accelerate, he went wire to wire last time, but you know, he doesn't usually do that. That was kind of out of character for him. So I don't necessarily think he's going to come back and fire. I can't imagine they're going to try to blast him off or anything. So, you know, it's a handicapping puzzle, really. And that's why I thought Doug's horses actually had a really good chance just visualizing the race in my head a little bit. They're going to be in the right spot. Whether they're good enough or not, I don't know. And it all depends on whether Airgate runs his best race or near best race, because that will blow the field away. So I don't know. It might be an all. Who the heck knows? You kind of have a gut call somewhere along the line.
In 90 seconds, do you like anything strongly in either of the two turf stakes, the Del Mar Handicap or the Del Mar Oaks?
I really like Mr. House's two horses in the Del Mar Handicap. I think Hunt ran a super race last time, and he's improving. I talked to Flavion Pratt. He thinks he can get the extra distance, and I don't see any reason why he can't. And then Big John B is a horse that I think is a grass horse. He's been running on the dirt. They're putting blinkers on him, switching him back to the turf. He had a good workout the other day. He's going to be, you know, big number, 12, 14, 16 to 1. He's a nice horse. He loves Del Mar. I think he's won 4 out of 5 races there, or 3 out of 4, something like that. He loves the Del Mar turf course. I think he's a horse that's
flying
under the
radar. He's 3 for 4 with a second. Yeah, I like Big John B today, too. He's 3 for 4 with a second there. He really likes it. 3 for 3 at the distance. That's where I landed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. We will hear from you again.
What's that?
Yeah. No, I agree. We'll hear from you again tonight, 7 to 9 Eastern Time. Jeff Bloom and Jude Feld out where the turf meets the surf with our coverage of that Grade 1 Pacific Classic. Have a good show tonight. Enjoy the day out of Del Mar.
All right. Thanks, Anthony. Good luck to you.
All right. Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. Mike will be back next week. Jude will be back next week. I'll be here next week. Three of us will be here for the Grade One Travers and a loaded undercard. It's presented to you by Sunrise Stallions. Check the website. Actually, I'll do you one better, HRR Nation. Just tune into Express Bet Radio this week. I'll let you know all of the particulars about our broadcast next week. Just know you can hear that Grade One Travers right here, presented by Sunrise Stallion, as part of our Saturdays at Saratoga coverage. That's all presented by visitbarbados.org. Next Saturday, August 26th, a full field of 14 scheduled to go, including Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, who was confirmed for the Midsummer Derby after that workout yesterday here at the Spa. One more break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this spectacular Saturday morning edition of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Think smart. Ask yourself, what can Sunrise Stallions do for you? Big Brown was the third leading sire in New York in 2016 and currently sits in the same spot in 2017. Last year, Frost Giant had 4 juveniles sell for $100,000 or more and was recently represented by his first 2-year-old winner of 2017. Together, Big Brown and Frost Giant's runners have earned over $2 million in the first half of this year. The answer is simple. Sunrise Stallions puts you in the winner's circle.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than 2 guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Since everyone you got the 215 Elm. Okay. Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later. Right. Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was creator and destined right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Tepperett and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway Stallion Tappet, an incomparable champion who has emerged as one of the most influential and breed-shaping stallions of the past half century. North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016, Tappet has sired 22 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $112 million on the racetrack. Among Tappet's recent Grade 1 standouts are multiple Grade 1 winner Frosted, Phillies, Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time and Motion, Ring Weekend, and three Belmont Stakes winners, Tonalist, Creator, and Tappet. Look for Tappet yearlings at the upcoming Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Big A in for the Baron. He'll be back next week live from the Spa. Keep telling you to come on out, HRR Nation, Section 2B at the Spa. Come say hello. Sign up for a free trip to Barbados. Come get yourself a limited number of HRR pens. You're not getting mine. Put you to work this morning, too, with our poll question. Just had Jude Feld on live from Del Mar area. We asked you what you guys thought was going to happen with Arrogate today. How would he perform in that Grade 1 Pacific Classic? Poll hasn't changed much since we last looked in. 44% feel it will dominate. 29% think it'll be a workmanlike win. 25% think he'll get beat. 2% of you. That is two of you out there that think he's going to run like he did in the San Diego. We have some responses as well. Carlos Santos, loyal HRN listener, says, a mile and a quarter is right between Arrogate's eyes and his legs were stretched in his last race. Skip Saar says he won't catch the quote-unquote other Baffert. So Skip thinking that Collected going to take him flag fall to That's All in the Pacific Classic. And another loyal listener, John Fahey, so sorry, hope he wins, but not confident. And he, of course, is the best horse in the world, Arrogate. You'll hear it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network starting at 5 p.m. Eastern. Mike Beer from the Daily Racing Form and I will be at Saratoga for the Grade 2 Lake Placid and Grade 1 Alabama. That coverage is from 5 to 6, 6 to 7, an encore performance of Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. Kieran McLaughlin, the Colonel, sat down for the hour. And then 7 to 9, exclusive coverage of the Del Mar Handicap and the Grade 1. That's a Grade 2 in the Grade 1 Pacific Classic. Jeff Bloom, Jude Feld, out where the turf meets the surf at Del Mar. That can all be heard on Sirius XM 93 and right here at your home for all of racing's biggest days, including Travers Day and the Breeders' Cup World Championships. That is Horse Racing Radio. .net. A few clouds have covered up the sun for a little bit here at the Spa. Nice little breeze has come through the historic Saratoga Oval. Last of the movers on the main track. Looks like it's in good condition. Again, if you're coming out to play the races today or you're playing from home, first and second race off the turf at Saratoga. Everything else is on, including that Grade 2 Lake Placid. That's when you will hear from us here at the Horse Racing Radio next 502 schedule post for the Lake Placid. It starts the cross country pick four. Lake Placid kicks it off right around 5 o'clock. Until then, for our producer on site, Michelle Penna, for our producer back in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, Lee Delapina, and everyone here at HRN, thanks to Bill Mott, Jimmy Jerkins, Andy Sterling, Craig Dado, and Doug O'Neill. I'm the Big A. I hope you win all of your photo finishes. We'll talk to you today at 5 on Sirius XM 93 and horseracingradio.net.